In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We do this broadcast live as the trucks go by. We do this broadcast live. I'm looking at the prophet Jonah today, and you know, many people just think of Jonah as a fish story, and Jonah has so much to teach us in these few chapters. I'm going to begin to read chapter 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Oh. Now Nineveh is a pagan city. It's a great city. And God speaks to Jonah, who's kind of stuck up. You know, he thinks he's just a lot better than the pagans, you know. He doesn't realize that his mother was an Amorite and his father was a Hittite when the Lord found the Jewish people. So God gives a call to Jonah to go to Nineveh, that pagan city. "But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And when one flees from the presence of the Lord and one has the mark of God in their heart, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Maybe that's you. Maybe today you are fleeing from the presence of the Lord and the mark of God is in your heart. You're going to have a lot of trouble. It's time to surrender again. It's time to give up again. It's time to give your heart over again. It's time to say, "Here I am, I come to do thy will." I'm telling you, if you are fleeing from the presence of the Lord, nothing good will happen. If you have the mark of God on you, in you, you've been claimed by Jesus Christ, and today you're fleeing from the Lord because you want to enjoy the world, I'm going to tell you, you're never going to be happy until you surrender again. Until you surrender again. "Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." The Lord called him to Nineveh. He says, "No, I'm better than that. I'm not going to those people. I'm not going to those pagans." But the Lord said the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before him, and he wants to send Jonah to speak a word of repentance. Jonah says, "Not on your life. Not on your life. I'm getting out of here. I'm going as far as I can from Nineveh and as far as I can from God's call." My friends, when people do that, they have the hand of God upon them, and that hand is heavy. He wants to exact something out of you. And I'm going to tell you, what God cannot exact during a time of peace, he'll exact during a time of war. Because the Lord is a jealous God. Not jealous because he's a jealous lover after us, but a lover that cares for us and knows that anything but him is second best. So we continue. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, that the ship was like to be broken." So here's Jonah running away. And you know what? The elements rise up against Jonah. "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God," they're pagans, "and cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay there and was fast asleep. Fast asleep. And here are the pagan men in the boat crying out to their gods and throwing over things because the winds and the waves are going over to the ship and things are happening. It's all Jonah's fault. He's running from the Lord.
So the shipmaster came to Jonah and said unto him, "What do you mean, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not."
In other words, you call on your God, Jonah, and maybe we won't perish. And this is what he said.
And they said, every one of his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah.
Let's find out why this is happening. And Jonah is the reason.
Then they said unto Jonah, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? Where is your country? What people do you belong to?" He said unto them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. I fear the God of heaven, which hath made the sea
and the dry land." Oh my, the God of heaven that has made the sea and the dry, the sea is against them. I'm a Hebrew. I'm one of those people that belong to the one true God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is God alone. Therefore you shall worship the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole might."
Then were the men exceedingly afraid. They said unto Jonah, "Why have you done this?" They know Jonah's done something wrong. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because Jonah told them. Then said they unto Jonah, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. "What shall we do to you?" And Jonah said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you."
Stubborn, stubborn, running away from the presence of the Lord. He will not go to Nineveh. He will not go and proclaim repentance. He'd rather die. "Throw me into the sea." Stubborn. His heart is against God. "I want my way. I want my way, my way. I'm not going to relent. It would be better for you to throw me into the sea. Please, you throw me into the sea and things will get better." Imagine that somebody so strong-willed that will not do the will of God, that will allow himself to die and be thrown into the sea. Imagine. Imagine. I'm going to tell you, there are so many people like that. "I will not give my life over to God. I want my own life. I want to control it. I want to be the Lord of my own life. I will not." I'm going to tell you, if God's mark is upon you and those are your words, you are in a tempestuous sea and the waves are coming over you and you need to surrender unto the Lord. That's what you need to do. But Jonah is so strong-willed. He hates those Ninevites so much. They're pagans, and it's below him to go and to proclaim repentance. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad that we can be so strong, so our will could be so against God. It's kind of strong.
"Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them."
They didn't want to throw Jonah over. The pagans have compassion for the believer. They even try to row the boat to the land.
Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. In other words, we're going to throw him over, Lord, but don't hold it against us. He's the one that's running from you. So they took up Jonah, and they cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Well, God will get his way. God will get his way. If he's not going to use Jonah, he'll use somebody else. God will get his way. You see, the Lord doesn't need me to get his way. I need him. We need to come up with the conclusion that God doesn't need us. We need him. That the way of the Lord will be accomplished, whether it be with us or without us. God will get his will done, whether it be with me or without me. And I want it to be with me. I want it to be with me. Do you want it to be with you? You see, Jonah is so angry that God has asked him to go to those pagan people. It's below him. It's below him. Well, I'm telling you, nothing is below me and nothing is below you. When the Lord speaks, we either do it or we don't. And if you run from the presence of the Lord, you have every right to do that, but you will accept the consequences, and the consequences will come because his hand will be heavy upon you, and he will exact from you during war what he cannot exact during peace. And you know what? You need never do what God called you to do. You need never do what God called you to do. In the prophet Isaiah spoke to the people. The people of Israel wanted to go to Egypt and to get help from the Egyptians. The Lord spoke through Isaiah in the 30th chapter that he did not want that to happen, but in quiet and in confidence would come the victory. That they were to be quiet and confident in the Lord. But what did they do? They decided to go to Egypt because their plans were greater than God's plans. They did not want to listen to the prophet. And so they went to Egypt. And you know what? They lost. They lost the war. Why? Because they did not follow the dictates of God. Through the prophet, they lost the war. I tell you, when the Lord calls us to do something and tells us to do something and we do not do it, I tell you, we will lose the war. He will strip us of everything. He will strip us of everything until we reach that point that here I am, Lord. I am naked before you. I come to do thy will. What does it take? What does it take? What does it take? And he doesn't do this with everybody, I'll tell you. There are some people that say, I'm not going to do his will. And he doesn't go after them. He doesn't bring the waves over them. He says, well, let them do their will. There are some people like that. But then there are other people that are marked out, that when they follow their own will and do not do what the Lord calls them to do, he lets them suffer until they reach the end of their rope and they surrender.
This is real. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen people that have said no to God. And they go on living their life the way they want to live their life. Then I've seen in my life and in other lives, people that are saying no, they will suffer until they reach the point of surrender. This is real. This is real. God will exact from you something during a war with him that he can't exact when you're at peace.
We go to the second chapter now. Then Jonah prayed, he's in the fish's belly, unto the Lord his God, out of the belly of the fish. And Jonah prayed, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and he heard my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea. The floods encompassed me about, the billows and waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul, the depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came before me. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came before me. What's going to happen now? And I remembered your holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land.
You see, it takes being in the vice for Jonah to say, I remember the Lord. It takes Jonah being broken to say, I remember the Lord. He could have done it in the first verse when the Lord said, go to Nineveh. He could have done it. He didn't have to go through this. But he wanted to go through this. He wanted his own will to be exerted, and the seaweed was around his neck, and the waves went over his head, and he's in the midst of the pits. He's in the midst of a terrible situation. He could have avoided this. He could have avoided every bit of it. But you know what? If you can learn from this, it's okay. If you can learn from this, it's okay. That when God tells you to do something, you just do it. When God tells you to do something, you just do it. You just do it. You don't make excuses. You see, Jonah was stuck up. He thought he was better than the pagans. Remember, the Lord told us never to forget our roots. He told us never to forget where we came from. He told us never to forget that he called us, that there's nobody below us, that if the Lord calls us to do something, do it. Do it. And you know what? If you don't do it, and you're marked by him, his hand will be heavy upon you. His hand will, and Jonah experienced the dregs of pain, until finally he remembered the Lord.
And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee.
In other words, if you don't do what God says, he'll say it again. And it's the same message. It's the same message as the first verse. Go to Nineveh and preach what I tell you to preach. You see, the Lord is into learning things. If you don't learn something, you're going to have to learn it again. He'll give you another situation to learn it again. And if you don't learn it again, he'll give you another situation that you have to learn it again. It'll be the same situation, the same meat you'll be eating.
So Jonah arose finally and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. You could walk 3 days through the city. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Oh, he loves it. He loves it. He loves this message. God's given you 40 days, and he's going to destroy this pagan city. Little does he know that Nineveh will hear the word of the Lord and will respond. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them.
Isn't it something that tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of the people of God? That's what he said yesterday at Mass. Isn't it something that the pagans hear the word of the Lord much more than Jonah the prophet? Isn't it something?
How do we know? By what they did. They did not just say, you know, we're going to listen to Jonah. They did something. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him. He covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes.
I tell you, we can learn from the prophet Jonah and from these chapters. It's very easy to become smug. It's very easy to become arrogant. It's very easy to become, I know it, I've been born again. I'm going to heaven. And I'm telling you, sometimes the pagans hear the word of God quicker than the people of God. Sometimes those who do not even know God, when they hear the word of God, repent faster than those people that are so-called children of God. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Listen, it's time for us to turn to the Lord. It's time for us to hear from heaven. It's time for us to hear from heaven and to do what the Lord calls us to do. It's time. It's time. It's time. I surrender all in Jesus' name. I surrender all in Jesus' name. I surrender all in Jesus' name. I thank you for listening to me. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. And you know, people in New Mexico, Albuquerque, you know, I'm giving you another chance. I need to hear from you. I need to hear from people in WFAX. I need to hear from people in St. Louis and in Arizona. I will not go into debt. I will not go into debt. I need to hear from people in WACE, WROL. I need to hear from people in Iowa. I will not go into debt. I will not go into debt. Please, the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. It's time for you to hear the Word of God. It's time for you to say yes. Say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. Even if you don't know what the yes is about, say yes to Him. So you will pass through this time of trial, so that this trial will not destroy you, but this trial will sharpen you. It's time. It's time. The prophet Jonah tells us it's time. Don't be like Jonah. Don't be smug. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Everything you have is a gift. That's why you have no need to boast of anything. Everything you've received has been given to you. Have no need to boast in front of anybody. It's a gift, G-I-F-T. It's a grace. Thank God for the grace and do what He tells you to do. That's what our Blessed Mother said. Do whatever He tells you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.